I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. King of rock, there is none higher. Fire MCs should call me sire. To build my kingdom, you must choose fire. I won't stop rocking.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the Gau Studios in Houston. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Brazil, 22nd minute with a 1-0 lead over the U.S. Already getting set to bring on Marquinhos. Kind of a miss-hit cross. It goes off the post, falls to the feet of Hulk, but Hulk eliminates a defender beautifully. So it's 1-0 Brazil over the U.S. Right now. As we come back, a quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm. They work for you 24-7. John Daspit, we appreciate his support of this show. Houston personal injury attorney. He handles personal injury cases, anything from plant and refinery accidents, medical injuries, industrial accidents, you name it, 18-wheeler, boat, car accidents, and God forbid, wrongful death cases. DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915, DaspitLaw.com. Now, with the Daspit Law Firm, you can rest more assured in times of stress that you've got an attorney that's on your side, hard-hitting, and he's there to fight for your right for compensation. Contact the Daspit Law Firm, 713-364-0915, toll-free 888-273-1045 in English and in Spanish. And Soccer Matters. Thanks, the Daspit Law Firm. Joining me now, good friend. We've had the good fortune of calling a number of games on television together. Former Major League Soccer defender, also Olympian. He's one Brian Dunseth, who comes in with the Real Salt Lake broadcast team this Saturday to broadcast the Dynamo Real Salt Lake. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
Great to have you on the show, and we're here to get the skinny on Real Salt Lake. This is a big one for both teams. How much urgency around them right now? I mean, this is literally a must-win game for both these teams.
Yeah, I would say even more so for Real Salt Lake. Glenn, listen, you and I have been around this league for a long time. When you have a team like Real Salt Lake, who has made the playoffs the last five seasons in a row, has never in those five seasons been lower than third place in the Western Conference, and you see them at the bottom of the table, it's just not good enough. There's a ton of reasons why you could say it's not been good enough. International call-ups, injuries, trades in the offseason, two teams coming in as expansion teams and kind of decimating the depth and the experience within the group, overall losing over 700 games of MLS experience in one season. It's been a different year, and it's been a frustrating year. And at the end of the day, it just hasn't been good enough for everyone involved.
How much pressure is on Jeff Kassar? Because I'm sure fans, you know, they go directly to a coach, Jason Kreis, going to New York City FC. How much pressure has Jeff had? How has he handled the pressure? And how do you think he's been as a manager?
Yeah, it's to be determined, to be honest with you. More upheaval this year, not just the players and the product on the field, but Darth Lagerwey going to Seattle. Craig Weibel, as an assistant coach, becomes the technical director. And then just 2 weeks ago, and I guess 3 weeks ago, Real Salt Lake president Bill Manning left the club mutually with owner Deloy Hansen, elected that it was better if he moved on. Complete restructuring behind the scenes. And I think that's why it's to be determined. You come into a season and you're relying on Joao Plata, Alvaro Sabrio, Javier Morales, guys like that. Chris Schuler's played less than 10 games. Hamison Olave has only played 12 games. It's been a team that's been missing a lot of guys. Then you throw in the question about winger, Borchers, Grabovoi. Everything that has gone wrong has gone wrong. And that could possibly go wrong has gone wrong. So we'll see what happens. It'll be fascinating to see where this team ends at the last game of the season in Major League Soccer, and if it shouldn't make the playoffs, Jeff Cassar still has another year on his deal. Will Deloy Hansen, as a first-time owner in the sports franchise, elect to pull the trigger while he's still under contract with a head coach to try to get someone else come in long-term?
All right, this is fascinating because I see a bit of a domino effect here. Jason Kreis leaves, Garth Lagerwey. These two guys were the architect of everything from purpose of play to really creating the culture that is now Real Salt Lake. Then Bill Manning goes, who was added on a little bit later, but also a big piece of this. So you're not lying when you said restructuring. I mean, these are three very big personalities with this team.
Yeah.
Did any of these guys leave because of, you know, Jason leaving or Garth leaving? You know, was it some people jumping ship looking for different opportunities? What was the reason for people leaving?
Well, on face value, it's opportunities. When Jason Kreis elected to play out the final part of his contract and see what was out there, that was when it was the restructuring of the ownership with Deloy Hansen taking over full ownership from Dave. And from Dave Checkitz losing his spot, he was the guy that decided to take Jason off the field and make him a head coach. Dave hired Garth Lagerwey. Dave hired Bill Manning. Since then, in 2007, the club's changed dramatically. The landscape of Major League Soccer's changed dramatically. And I'm not sure in every single MLS club that you ultimately need a president. You know this as well as I do. Back in the day, the team president was the president, was the GM. He was involved in ticket sales. He was involved in commercial sales. And that's just not really the case anymore. So I think as the club has grown, the identity has changed a little bit. The opportunities for guys like Jason Kreis to go see what NYCFC and Manchester City, what chances that affords him in the future are game changers. For Garth Lagerwey going to Seattle and going from a minuscule budget to a monopoly money budget is definitely a fascinating situation. And Garth made no qualms about at some point wanting to be a team president, wanting to have a bigger opportunity outside of a small market like Salt Lake. And then Bill Manning, through all this transition, his contract for some reason ended at the end of July, I believe, end of June or July. And to have a contract in mid-season for a team president is a really fascinating situation to me. But at the end of the day, I like the moves that were made behind the scenes in terms of how they're structuring. I also like the fact that Craig Weibel, former Houston Dynamo man, mainstay, is now the general manager, not just technical director, because in the old hybrid system, in the hierarchy of the system behind the scenes, he could only be a technical director. So we'll see. I mean, at the end of the day, you still got a Nick Raimondo, who's playing at the national team level, Kyle Beckerman, who's played at the national team level this year, Javier Morales, who continues every single year to get better, even though at this point he's 34, 35 years old. But to lose guys like Borchers, Will Johnson, to lose a winger, to grab a boy, even a Saverio to some effect. There's the changing of the guard. The team is the star, has been the mantra for a long time, but they're not getting paid as collectively as a unit as they once were. Guys are starting to get paid out pretty big money.
Brian, look, you and I know that these teams are built for three-year cycles, and if you go beyond that, it's spectacular. What Real Salt Lake has done in the last couple of years, and you've been so involved with it, is spectacular. And sometimes things have to change. So saying that, and with all these guys leaving, and Craig Weibel, who, by the way, will do a great job, doesn't Jeff Cassar deserve the patience with all this challenge and change around him? To move forward in the head coaching job. And by the way, Jason Kreis can't turn down New York City FC. It's like David Moyes saying no to Manchester United. You can't say no to it, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Listen, you and I, we had a similar train of thought when it comes to the game and it comes to certain situations. I guess at the end of the day, regardless of all the things that have happened, injuries, suspensions, international duty, off-the-field things that have happened that led to trades, whatever it may be, it's not been good enough in terms of where this team sits in the Western Conference. I guess long-term, you have an owner that's never fired a head coach. You have a first-year technical director, now general manager. And ultimately, I think you have to look at this team and say, 3 years from now, is Jeff Kassar still a part of the future? And if he's not, then that's, I think, when you got to make a move. If you think that, hey, this is a one-off year, everything's gone wrong, we're going to get it right next year, we're going to build our team, then he stays in the job and he deserves another opportunity.
Yeah, see, here in Houston, from the word go here, with all the change, a new general manager, a total restructuring of the team, 10, 11 new players, team's gotten more youthful, all kinds of things are happening here. For me, if the Houston Dynamo make the playoffs, a new manager, Owen Coyle, who's kind of admittedly kind of learning as the league goes on, I think has done an exceptional job, new staff. But to me, if the Houston Dynamo make the playoffs, it's an overachievement. Now, fans don't want to hear me say that, but to me, hands down, it's an overachievement if they get into the playoffs this year. And that's not setting the bar low. That's being realistic because patience at this point for this team after having Dominic Kinnear, the same manager for 10 years, the new manager deserves an additional year to begin to get it right.
Yeah, and again, I think it's up long-term to say, is this the guy that's going to lead us going down the road? Can you envision him being the guy for a long time? And if not, are you willing to make that change? And ultimately, who is out there that can be a better choice? And obviously, financials come into play again because he's under contract. And if you're going to buy him out, essentially, you're going to have to double up on whoever you're bringing in. And it's no cheap cure nowadays in Major League Soccer the way it once was. So it'll be ultimately really, really fascinating to see what happens with this team in the next 6 months.
All right. How different is Real Salt Lake, Brian, when Joao Plata's there?
Oh, completely different team, man. You know, they changed their formation, their identity from the diamond formation that they were so well known for in hopes of having three attacking players on the field at the same time. And unfortunately for Real Salt Lake and Jeff Kassar, Joao Plata went down on the very first training session of preseason before they even got down to Arizona. But he's back. He's fit. He's sharp. He's a difference maker. And he's showing the reasons why they went out and bought his full player pass instead of trying to hold him on loan. They spent over $1 million on him, and it's well worth it, in my opinion.
Now, the mainstays, the Beckermans, the Nick Raimondos, you know these mainstays that are so, you know, just connected and identifiable with Real Salt Lake. How engaged are they, and how have those veterans handled all this change? Because, you know, veterans usually speak up a little bit. How have they handled the change? Not only Jason Christ moving on, but also Garth Lagerwey and Bill Manning.
Yeah, it's been a professional attitude, professional atmosphere. I don't think in any way, shape, or form Jeff Kassar has lost the locker room. I think everyone's still fighting and believing in the cause and the identity. But again, I think the big issue at play here for Real Salt Lake this year versus last year are the injuries. The reliable players that they thought they could build around, having the Chris Schuler's, Hamilton Olave's, be probably the most imposing two center backs in Major League Soccer together. They haven't played more than 9 games together all season long. Losing the Borchers, who's Mr. Consistency, Winger going to New York, Ned Grabovoi going to New York, Robbie Finley going to Toronto, Carlos Salcedo going to Chivas de Guadalajara, and even guys like Sebastian Velasquez going to New York City FC. It's been a struggle this year because the identity, the winning culture has changed. And,
all right,
and
that's but that, Raimondo that being
and those guys to restart that.
That being said, Brian, and you're bringing up a lot of good points here, and the Dynamo have a lot of similar issues around national team call-ups. I mean, Giles Barnes has been finally had a game that looked like him prior to the season where, you know, you remember in the first 2 months, he looked like one of the best players in the league. I mean, unbelievably electric. Went away with Jamaica and has been fatigued, I believe, and a little bit beat up. And now we're starting to see the old Giles Barnes a little bit in the last game. But how much of this comes down to just player performance? Because they got a hand in this too.
Yeah, it does. I would say the parts that were added this year haven't played to the standard or the level that was 2014. And a lot of that comes down to getting thumped 5-0 in the first round of the playoffs on the road at L.A. to end their season. They tried to change everything. It hasn't paid off. And ultimately, they're paying for the price. But, you know, psychologically, I think they're all into it. Player performance-wise, a year older, with a little less depth, and they haven't got the results that they were looking to achieve.
Brian, listen, we're up on a hard break. I want to say I'm looking forward to seeing you down here this weekend. Looking forward to seeing you guys in town calling the game, the Dynamo Real. So, like, this is a good one. Both teams need it, as you and I both know, but I think the fans know it as well. So, should be a good one. Thank you for coming on tonight, as always.
Thanks, man.
All right, the one and only Brian Dunseth, former Major League Soccer defender, color analyst. You see him on a lot of national broadcasts. Hey, him and I did the U.S.-Chile game a while back. As we go to break here, I got a pair of tickets. Dynamo Real, Salt Lake, six caller, gets them right now. A big thank you, as always, to Liberty Kitchen, 7-Up, Bud Light, Bar Munich, the Daspit Law Firm, our newest sponsor, Amigo Energy, the Gorgeous Gale, and Bar Munich. I'll give our Bar Munich Gold of the Week to Sergio Aguero's chip at BBVA Compass Stadium last Friday. All right, stay with us. Special interview coming up. Brian Dunseth got you going. Coming up next, the legendary Landon Donovan. 7-Up break.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Liberty Mutual brings us now, we call him the all-time greatest soccer player in the United States. I certainly do. He's Landon Donovan. Landon, thank you very much for coming on the program.
How you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing great. It's great to have you on. I was just reminiscing with Mike Pearson here, who's my producer, about the time I took a radio show to mainstream media, and guess who said he would come on and help me the very first show? You.
Well, I was happy to help out, and I'm happy to help out now.
And that was many years ago. All right, let's just get into a couple things. I really want to focus on you right now and just the whole post now soccer. You've come full circle. These are things, obviously, I think you said you needed to do for yourself as a person. Were you getting worried you were getting too defined by the sport of soccer?
It's a good question, and I think it's something that some athletes think about, for sure. I always thought about it. I'm not naive, right? I'm always going to be linked in that way. And more times than not, when people recognize me, they'll say, "Oh, are you the soccer guy?" And part of me wants to say, "No, I'm Landon," you know, but I understand that that's a big piece of what my life has been for most people. So I understand that, but it's kind of fun now, exciting now, little scary now, to reinvent yourself. And so I'm enjoying the challenge. I'm enjoying the opportunity. I'm obviously still going to stay connected to this game that I love so much and that it's been such a big part of my life. But I also want to do other things and try new things and see what other passions I have.
You were named sort of the face of the sport here in this country at a very, very young age. Did you kind of realize what was going on at that point? I mean, obviously it was performance-based as well, but did you kind of get what was going on, and was that ever something that was pretty fearful?
To be honest, I didn't really understand it, and only now as I got older in the last few years of my career, and especially now that I'm outside of the game, and starting to understand the business side a little bit more, am I really grasping what that all was and what that all is? And it's very interesting because it's all tied to performance, as you said, but there's so many other pieces and so many other things that go involved to that 90 minutes on the field on a given night. And so it's been good for me to learn what goes on behind the scenes. As you know, when you spend time on a broadcast, you see that there's so much production that goes into it. When you spend some time with the game operations people, when you talk to sponsors, when you talk to networks and U.S. Soccer and Major League Soccer, you just start to understand that there's so much more that goes into that 90-minute performance. And part of my I think, desire is to help players understand that, because sometimes we're so wrapped up in our own world of playing, understandably so, that you don't have an appreciation for all the other stuff that goes on.
He's Landon Donovan, brought to us by Liberty Mutual. We appreciate Landon coming to us from Boston. Was there a specific time frame when the sport began to be more of a job to you? Is there a moment you remember when it became more of a job?
I don't remember the moment when it came that way, but I think it's an evolution that every athlete goes through at some point. A wake-up call for me was after the 2006 World Cup, because until then I had been the sort of darling and I could do no wrong, and I vividly remember all of a sudden I was being criticized, and that had never happened to me before. So that was a big moment of waking up. And I think what happens is you go through ups and downs with respect to feeling like a job versus feeling fun. And so when you're young, it's so enjoyable, because all you're doing is going out and playing soccer every day. And then there comes a point where you have expectations, you have responsibility, you're expected to do well, help the team. For me, it was doing a lot of off-the-field things to help promote the sport. And there was days, probably in my mid-20s, where I would wake up and I was tired. I was exhausted from it, and it wore me out. So then the challenge was, how do I make it fun again? And so then it would be fun for 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years. And then sometimes it would go back to, oh, it's feeling like a job again. So the challenge for me, and I think most athletes deal with this, is finding the way to always keep it enjoyable. Because, oh, by the way, that's when you play best as well.
Landon Donovan joining us again, courtesy of Liberty Mutual. And we're really excited to have him on the program here tonight on Everton. Let's go back to Everton, because I thought you adjusted to Everton and the whole Premier League experience in amazing fashion. I remember you once telling me in a prior interview that you got over there and you were thrust right into the starting lineup against Arsenal. Can you recount that story when you're sitting in the room prior to the game, I believe in a hotel, and you're going to get put right into the starting lineup, and even you were surprised?
Yeah, so when I went to Everton in 2010, I think the expectation for me and probably for everybody was that I would work my way in, maybe play a few games, and then head back to Major League Soccer. I think there was only 12 or 13 games that I potentially could have played. And I remember getting there on a Sunday, and the first game was at Arsenal on the Saturday. And I trained Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I had not done any training in the off season except a couple weeks worth of running after the MLS season. And on Friday, when we were sort of walking through practice and going over Arsenal, David Moyes, the coach, walked over and he said, just so you know, we're debating whether or not we're going to start you tomorrow. We may start you, we may start someone else, but I just want you to know to be ready. And I said, I held it together. I said, okay, I'm ready, coach. You know, but inside I was thinking, I haven't even trained 4 days with this team. That's kind of crazy. And so in the pregame meeting, we walked into the meeting and he named off the team, and I was in the team. And the good thing about that was I didn't really have time to think about it all. It was, you know, it wasn't at the end of this week you're going to be starting the game. It was in 3 hours you're starting. And so obviously I was a long time pro and I knew what I was doing, but there was still some anxiety and nerves around it. But it ended up going really well. It was a lot of fun and enjoyable. It snowed for a lot of that game, and it was a little bit different than Southern California, but it was a great experience and one I'll always remember.
Landon, that's a different fan base than maybe what we have here in the United States. Those are people totally invested in the provincial side of Everton in Liverpool. This is a different fan, and you won them over 100%. Speak to me about that sort of relationship with their fans there, because they absolutely adored the way you played the game. They loved you being a part of the team. They were chanting USA, the whole thing. And it is a different experience when the scrutiny is even deeper, right?
Yes. Well, I was fortunate because I walked in the first day I got there, they had a game. And I got in about noon and the game was at 3 o'clock. And I walked to the stadium with my agent, Rich, and we were walking through the stadium. And as I walked through, I had a beanie on my head. And so I was I mean, as unrecognizable as you could be. And as I was walking through the stadium, the ushers, the people that work there, the fans were turning and saying, "Welcome, Landon, welcome, Landon." And I just from immediately felt so loved by the people. And they were aware of what was going on. They were excited to have me there. And it was really special in that way. And from that moment, I felt like I was a part of that family. And the one important piece of advice I got there, I was in the locker room the first week I was there, and one of the older coaches who had been there for a long time, was a youth team coach who had played for Everton, said, "Listen, the one thing that matters at this club is that you run and you work hard." And he said, "No matter what you do, you make a bad pass, a bad shot, whatever, nobody cares as long as you run and you work hard." And so I just kept that with me. And sure enough, you know, as long as I ran and tried and gave everything I had, the crowd loved it. And that for me was a really easy place to be and a really easy transition.
Do you ever wish you could have stayed there longer?
Yeah, I do. I think it would have been enjoyable. But, you know, I had made a commitment to the Galaxy that I was only going to stay for that 3 months, and I wanted to be a man of my word, so I stuck to that. But, you know, sometimes I think about, you know, what might have been had I stayed there. But I think in the end it was the right decision, and it worked out well for everyone.
Landon, we'll get one more quick question in here. Just for my listeners, and I know you've spoken about this before, just kind of give us the piece on Jurgen Klinsmann not going to the last World Cup.
Well, time heals wounds. So, you know, over time, it's been a lot easier to digest. At the time, as everyone can imagine, it's not easy. But I think what happened after some of the aftermath was I realized that I should have been there and I deserve to be there, but life isn't always fair. And I think in my career, for the most part, I was really fortunate to have a lot of breaks go my way. I was always part of all the teams I was on, and it just made me realize that life isn't always that way, and that, oh, by the way, there was a lot of people that didn't get those same breaks. There was a lot of players that didn't get named to teams, and it gave me some compassion for what that's like, and I had never had that before. So I, you know, it's, as you know, I'm a little bit, I like to see the big picture, and at the time it was horrible, but learning that and gaining that compassion was an important piece for me, and I sort of trust that it's all working out the way it's supposed to, and that's the way it is. So fortunately, time lets you heal a little bit and just keep moving forward.
Landon, listen, thank you very, very much for coming on, and it was nice to hear you say that you want to remain in the sport, because I think the sport still needs Landon Donovan in a big way.
My pleasure. Thank you, Glenn.
So that was Landon Donovan from earlier today. We appreciate hearing from what is the greatest soccer player in the history of U.S. soccer. All right, stay with us. We go a little dynamo now with the manager, Owen Coyle, ahead of a visit from Real Salt Lake, a must-win game this Saturday night at BBVA Compass Stadium.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Quick word for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you to get over to the Houston Dynamo game this Saturday night. The Dynamo taking on Real Salt Lake, the first of three home games in their next four. The Dynamo need your support. Get over to HoustonDynamo.com. You get your tickets there, single game packages, season tickets for next season as well. It's HoustonDynamo.com. Bud Light reminds you to get down to the stadium, see it live with like-minded individuals. And our thanks, as always, to Bud Light, who bring us the manager of the Houston Dynamo, Owen Coyle. Owen, thank you very much for coming on.
Pleasure, Glenn. Looking forward to it, as always.
So the window here you've had here and a little bit of time here, how has this helped you as a team? Has it helped get a few guys healthy? Kind of give us the insight after the win over Vancouver with this little weekend you had off.
Yeah, well, that was the thing, Glenn. It was always important that we took care of Vancouver, because you're moving into a break and you wanted to get into a break with a feel-good factor, and the boys did that. I mean, it was a very good performance against a very good side, I have to say, a side that's led the Western Conference for most of the season. So we're delighted with the performance, but coming out of that again with five players away on international duty, which is always a worry. So hopefully, you know, the time we've had has helped the ones that stayed at home to, you know, recover, recuperate and be fresh for the big challenge ahead of us. And hopefully the international lads have they come back in good health. DeMarcus Beasley obviously tried to play in the Vancouver game, so he's still a big doubt ahead of Saturday. But hopefully we'll have more or less along similar lines.
Now, let's go to Kubo Torres, who goes off and is training with the Olympic side for Mexico. Is this a situation where you feel good about him going there to get his sharpness there, or would you have preferred him to be here as the manager of the Dynamo?
No, I mean, I think in that way, I think that actually can help us in respect of Kubo got some good minutes against the Panama team. He's a couple of games against club sides. So all in all, I think that trip will help Kubo in terms of his match sharpness. As you know, he started the game against Vancouver, and we managed to get some good time out of him. What we want to do to the lad is get him in pristine condition so they can show everybody the undoubted quality that he has. So I think that would have helped him that trip. I'm expecting the group to be back together on Thursday, and we can take it from there.
And Owen, is the plan still to keep him in a team that includes Giles Barnes and Will Bruin? Because I know that was something that you really coveted when you first got Kubo Torres in here from Chivas in Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, if I have him fit healthy, Glenn, it's my intention to be really positive again against Salt Lake. And by being positive, that would include Barnes, Bruin, and Kubo Torres in a starting lineup. So, you know, nothing that I've seen last week dissuaded me from doing that. What I need to do is, I say, get Kubo in pristine condition. The same with Giles Barnes. I mean, Giles, prior to the Copa America and the Gold Cup, was for me one of the top 3-4 players in the league. So we need to get that freshness, that energy back. And I think we've seen lots of glimpses of that against Vancouver. Giles looked, you know, he looked fresh. He looked exciting every time he picked the ball up. So much so, as you know, I mean, the treatment he received that resulted in yellow and red cards, because everybody knows what a talented player he is. But we need him at the Dynamo fresh, hungry, and ready to show that quality that he undoubtedly has.
Yeah, I think everybody's in tune with what you said, because we saw him look more explosive in that Vancouver game. Like you said, much like that Jamaica stuff and, you know, Copa America and Gold Cup Jamaica stuff at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, very much so. And as I said, what we want to do, guys, as I said before, we want to have match winners in the top end of the field. And the Will Bruins, the Joe Barnes, the Kubo Torres, all these boys, they come into that category. But they need to be physically and mentally in the best condition to do that. And this is a tough league, the MLS. I've certainly grown to appreciate how tough it is and understanding that. And you need these players at their very best. So we have to find a way. And obviously the international stuff hasn't helped up with us as a club. Because out with losing players for valuable games, we've also picked up injuries to key players where they've been representing their countries. And whilst we never want to deny a player the opportunity to represent their country, we really have suffered through that, through Moyne Garcia, missed 2 months away from Honduras. DeMarcus Beasley has still been stop-starts, picking up the injury with the US squad in the Gold Cup. Jermaine Taylor has more or less effectively missed the rest of the season from an injury at the Gold Cup. So these have been really harsh blows dealt to the Dynamo. So again, it's finding that, really that area that, of course, they represent their countries, but it doesn't do any damage to the Houston Dynamo.
He's Owen Coyle joining us here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Owen, talk about Ricardo Clark and how important he is to this team, because it just seems the team grows a few inches when Rico Clark is in its midfield.
Well, as you know, I love having him in my team. You know that. I mean, I've got such a high opinion of him. And I think, you know, he's certainly enjoying his spell playing, you know, for us and with us and everything that goes with that. He's surpassed his goal tally already. And he's just an integral part of our team, right? And some people, you know, you don't realise how good somebody is until they're not there. But for me, I mean, you know, Ricardo Clark, he's one of the first picks in my team. He knows that. He knows the value I have with him. And we have a good relationship. And I really think he's shown his quality for the Dynamo.
Real Salt Lake coming in. I think systematically it's a very similar team to when Jason Kreis was there, now the New York City FC manager. What are your thoughts on them? Javier Morales, a clear sort of number 10 in midfield for them, always poses a danger. Give us some of your thoughts pre-match on Real Salt Lake.
Yeah, I think they're a very good technical side. I think they have wonderful, gifted players. Jaime obviously leads the line, terrific striker. You mentioned Morales. Plant is a wonderful, talented player. So they have players that can cause any team's problems. And we know that. It was only a couple of weeks ago they take Kennison of Seattle in emphatic fashion. So again, it's going to be a tough game. But these are the games that we look forward to. These are the games that we enjoy playing. We were, you know, delighted last week to get back to back home to Houston, to the BBVA Stadium. Because, as you know, we played 11 of our last 16 games on the road, on the travels. So it was great to get back. And that's the same as Saturday. We love being at home. We've got a terrific record, as you know. We've taken 16 from 18 points in the last six home games, Glenn. The only blip was the draw with Chicago when we felt we could have won. Otherwise, it'd be six straight wins. And that's what we want to do again. We want to go and win a tough game against Salt Lake. But we know we're capable of doing that. We want to try and put a smile on the fans' faces. The Houston Dynamo fans have been outstanding for the club. So we want to try and reward them with a team that's exciting to watch, a team that can score goals, and a team that can win. So again, that's the onus for Saturday. Going to get another valuable 3 points and gaining and continuing the momentum towards the end of the season.
A four-game snapshot reminds us, again, this is for you, the listener, Real Salt Lake at home this Saturday at BBVA Compass Stadium. The Dynamo on the 20th will then go to Philadelphia. 3 days later, home to Sporting Kansas City, and then 3 days after that against the Colorado Rapids. Not an easy task, but these are three home games, and as you heard the manager, Owen Coyle, the Dynamo have been top marks at home here as of late, so it's a great game for you to get out because there is so much at stake. And if we look at those last four games that I mentioned, Owen, is it safe to say this is the meat of the season here? This is the money time, and you guys got to come out of this with a lot of points.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say. I mean, as we always say, Glenn, this is the business end of the season. No matter what league you operate in, what country you operate, come the end of the season when the games come thick and fast and they're all valuable big points. And the other thing is, I mean, out with the Philadelphia Union game, every game that we play is against our conference rivals. So it's important because they then all become six-point games at this stage of the season. So it's important that we're coming out on the right side of those and picking up those valuable 3 points every time we play, because as well as getting a valuable 3 points for yourself, you're dealing a blow to one of your rivals. So it's all important. But we're focused. I mean, our one desire this year was we had our group fit and healthy. We've not had that, and it's in the backside a couple of times. You know, the international stuff's not helped. But what we know, everything we're implementing, that's going to come to fruition, and we're going to have a very good team for years to come. There'll be bits and pieces that will change over at the end of the season, as you always do. And again, it's just progress and progress, and that's what we have to keep doing. We're never going to have the finance of the big, big clubs. So we have to find a way for us to be creative and have a very successful team within our own environment. Now, we're capable of doing that. I mean, the Dynamo punched above their weight before. I've did it everywhere I've been, and it will continue to do that.
Owen, if you look at this season, you have to be happy with the progress that's being made. Anything since the last time you and I talked a couple weeks ago, are there any more realizations for you as a manager operating in this league under very different rules and some regulations that are very different season, different timing of things that you had in England?
Yeah, that is going, because listen, as I said before, as high as the level I've coached and worked and been very successful at as well, I came here with my eyes wide open, and I'm learning all the time. There's loads of stuff that I've took on board. There's stuff that I'm in a far better position to understand now than I was when I came in. And within that, I mean, if I look at the logistics, I mean, in terms of our programme, we had 7 out of the first 10 games at home and then 11 of 16 on the road. We have to find a better balance to that, Glenn. And I'm not saying it has to be home, away every second week, but we have to find a better balance, because at the start of the season, we were implementing stuff. I mean, we took 10 points from our first 10 games. And probably, you know, with hindsight, you'd have wanted to take some more, because we've probably been playing catch-up from that point. But credit to the players. Going on those road trips, they've stuck in, they've kept themselves in there, and we still have a wonderful opportunity to push to make those playoffs. But I think as well, if I look back, we have to look even in terms of the fixture list, and I wouldn't want to be playing two games away from home back-to-back on turf and flying from one side of the country to the other. in terms of when we went from New England to Portland. So we have to, that's things that I think learning that I can look at when the fixture list comes and say, well, listen, can we change this, can we change that, to get something that's more feasible and more acceptable to Houston Dynamo. Because we have to, as I say as well, trying to be fair with our fans, our fan base, and give them a balanced schedule as well. So I think there's a number of things in that respect. And equally within the league, I think my understanding now is there's certain types of players, I think, to be successful in this league that maybe I wasn't totally aware of when I came in, but I am now. So I know the key pieces of the bits of the jigsaw that we need to take us forward.
Owen Coyle, the manager of the Houston Dynamo, joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We appreciate you coming on as usual, Owen. All right, so, you know, those things you're pointing out here, is it important for Major League Soccer as a whole? And you're a fresh person coming in, and that's why it's important to get your outside perspective, I think. Is it important for Major League Soccer to really do a rethink about everything this summer, examine all these things, like scheduling, all these logistical things? Because I think if you look at these things and try and work it out, and don't get me wrong, I don't want to be the guy doing the schedule in Major League Soccer by any means, but we can put positions, we can put teams, positions, individuals, and managers in places where we can make the product maybe excel even more for the overall benefit of the league.
Absolutely. I mean, I have a number of issues, as you know, I've mentioned before. I mean, I don't think that Houston Dynamo should have to play on a date when I get five players missing because they're playing for their countries in an international game. And we go into a valuable game with an important 3 points and we're missing five of our best players. I don't think we should be in a situation that when a Copa America, a Gold Cup comes up and for 2 months of the season, our best players are missing. Of course, that's going to affect results because you're not able to put your best team out. I don't recall, Glenn, that we've really been able to play the same team 2 weeks in a row because of, as I say, international call-ups or different stuff. But you're right, I wouldn't want to be the scheduler. I totally understand that. But there's got to be a way that they find a better balance for all clubs. And I don't just mean Houston Dynamo. But there's got to be a way that they find an even balance so that it suits everyone as best as they can.
I would have to think it's frustrating for you as a manager, too, because managers thrive in piecing it all together, seeing it come to fruition, seeing it grow, nurturing that growth forward. I got to think it's tough for you because, you know, just when you may be seeing the positive benefits of growth, all of a sudden you get hit with five call-ups or, you know, something like that, and all of a sudden now you're trying to basically restart it with a different base of players. I mean, I got to think it's kind of frustrating for any manager.
Well, Glenn, I think back to, I mean, there's two specific instances this season. And the one thing you know about me, we're very upfront. We take responsibility and accountability. We've no issue with that. I'm just painting the picture of it, obviously, from my perspective as a head coach, how we're trying to put things together and how things can then, you know, can really turn against you. So I felt we were on a terrific run of form after the Red Bull game. As you know, we'd taken 10 points from five games. Three of those games had been on the road, and we were outstanding. 10 points from five games looked great. And all of a sudden, we have an international break. We came out of that break, and I go to Portland on the turf, and we're missing four of our best players because of international duty for the next two games, and then that was the start of the Copa America, and then into the Gold Cup. So then, as I say, we battle away, we pick up points where we need to, and we keep ourselves going in a nice situation. And then we have a three-game road trip, which, understandably, you're going to have to play them at some time. But within the three-game road trip, again, we're missing four of our five best players. And not only that, the three-game road trip, as I mentioned earlier, involves going from one coast to the other coast in the US and combining both games. Both games are played on turf. So you go from New England and then you go to Portland 1 week after the other and you're playing turf 2 weeks in a row. So with the international players you're missing, you pick up injuries as you do and all of a sudden the team is decimated. So for me, it's just finding a way, a better solution to those games that's fair for Houston Dynamo.
How about a word on Alex Miranda? Because he's kind of been a versatile guy for you. He's plugged in a number of different positions. But, boy, he really was a guy that you kind of stuck with here. Once he got here, you got him fit, and he's contributed in a lot of ways. And he's been hard for you to keep out of the starting 11, hasn't he?
Brian, I absolutely love Alex Lima. I mean, it goes without saying. I told you when we came in, we did the trade. We felt he was a very good technical player. We felt he was comfortable. He's got a little bit of bite. He's got good speed. And, you know, moreover, he's a team player, Glenn, who wants to do well for the team. So when we got him up to speed, I think he's been in the team ever since. But that's because of his play, Glenn. He's the one that keeps producing, so he stays in the team. It's a very simple scenario. I say that to the players. You play well, you stay in the team. And he's done that. Alex Lima, again, he's come up, as you know. He's played in the wide area. He's played the central midfield where he started last week. Then went to left back for me when DeMarcus Beasley got injured. He's been an outstanding player for us. And as I say, I still believe there's a lot more to come from him.
I want to switch you over to England because I know you've been in these situations with deals when you were in the Premier League and in England. Manchester United, the whole talk was David De Gea wanting to go back to Real Madrid. It all seemed inevitable. Now it doesn't happen. So now you've got a bit of a dilemma, right? Because you potentially have an unhappy player. You also have Sergio Romero, who played in the World Cup final for Argentina. What happens now with the manager, Louis van Gaal? Is this a case where he's got to kind of get a buy-in again from De Gea? Does he deal make with him? How do you maybe bring back a player that really has had maybe a dream crushed and now has to remain at Manchester United without any scars?
Yeah, well, it's a very good question, Glenn, and you're right. I mean, those scenarios pop up, and what you have to do is you have to be honest and you have to deal with them. And when all said and done, if David De Gea wanted to leave, I would hope that, and I would think that Louis van Gaal would have had fairly dialogue with David De Gea. You know, if the move comes great. If it doesn't, then you focus and you do what you do here. So ultimately, the way it works now, the transfer window doesn't reopen until January 1. So now David De Gea has to get focused. He's a professional. He's well paid. So he has to refocus, Glenn. He has to, you know, go and show the same qualities that was going to earn him the move to Real Madrid in the first place. And of course, you're right, Romero now, they've got to battle away. So that's the nature of the sport we're in. It's the same with, I mean, I think there's a, I didn't like the situation, Cedo Berahino at West Bromwich Albion, who wanted to go to Tottenham Hotspur and said, oh, I won't play for West Brom again, which was a very silly, naive thing to do, I've got to say. So, again, Tony Pulis now has to deal with that. He has to get Berahino on side because he's a goal scorer and can win games. And the Kent himself has to get refocused, do well for West Brom. And that move, if it's Tottenham again, I'm pretty sure there'll be teams wanting them in January, but those players have got to refocus. And really, as a manager, that's you've got to sit down and you've got to have an honest and frank conversation with those players and make sure that you get them on side. The difficulty for Berahino, even David De Gea, to an extreme, is convincing those fans. Because when all said and done, Glenn, you know, presidents, managers, general managers, head coaches, players, they all come and go. The one constant in any club is a supporter. And that's why everyone, when we're there, we're doing everything we can to try and get a smile on those supporters' faces, because that's the essence of a club. That's the identity of a club, through your supporter.
Unbelievable. Close to $1 billion spent in the transfer window. Owen, listen, the big news is we got Real Salt Lake Saturday night. It's a big one here at BBVA Compass Stadium. The Dynamo fans are going to be up for it, and we wish you the best of luck in that game this weekend.
Thanks, Brian. I've got to say, our fans have been fantastic. The atmosphere they're creating in the stadium, the players love playing in front of them. So thanks very much, and keep it going. Thank you.
All right, we look forward to seeing you down there. That's the Dynamo manager, Owen Coyle. And by the way, he was on his way to doing some work down with the Dynamo Academy. So very invested on the youth side is Owen Coyle. That'll do it for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Don't forget to go to Facebook Soccer Matters, HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. Get them for Real Salt Lake. Get down there. Support the Houston Dynamo. We'll say goodnight from ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Did you know that Byers Airport Subaru is the oldest Subaru retailer in the entire country? And we're conveniently located right by the airport. Start your journey today at columbussubaru.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.